If you have your Bibles, please open to James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. That will serve as our sermon text this morning. And our topic will be on being doers of the word and not hearers only. Give you a minute to get there. If you don't have a Bible, I think there are some on the table. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Let us read James 22 through 25 to get a really good understanding of what James is saying here. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, work, this one will be blessed in what he does. This text that James writes shows the Word of God as a means of reflection, a mirror into which we are to look and see ourselves. The call is not only to heed what we see, but to accept the Bible's corrective instruction. The Bible shows us Christ's likeness in order that we may measure our conduct and character against His and allow God to shape us into Christ's likeness. Our reflection should be near to that, to what we behold, which is no less than the image of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So I've got a few points this morning that I'd like to cover. And I'd like us to think about this. So let's talk about being hearers of the word. So are we careless hearers? And Jesus says in Matthew 7, 26 and 27, that everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is one of Jesus' parables that he introduces as a means of teaching kingdom truths. The need here is for kingdom people to have hearing ears. And Jesus said in Matthew 13:9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But I also think Jesus is saying here, a teachable hearing heart. Because with that, an individual is able to receive kingdom truth and become fruitful in their lives. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Every week we come here and we hear the Word of God, which is nourishment for our soul and our whole being. But you know, the old saying is, are we letting it go through one ear and out the other? Are we letting it really resonate within us? Ezekiel said it perfectly. He said, indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. So you hear the word, but does it get to your heart? Isaiah 42:20, seeing many things, but you do not observe. Opening the ears, but he does not hear. Let us be watchful for careless hearing. Be careful. It can be a danger because it could lead to indifference. Indifference meaning having no partiality or bias of no great importance. Insignificant. Having no marked feeling for one way or the other. Having no particular interest in or concern, neither good nor bad. Mediocre. Even the old saying, you're playing on the fence. Ezekiel writes again, and Ezekiel wrote this thousands of years before James wrote this, about hearing and not knowing. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another. Everyone's saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. You see, the people wanted to hear from Ezekiel and what he had to say, because much of his prophecies came true. They came to pass. But they did not want to put his words into action. They didn't want to act upon his words. They didn't want to be doers. They were gauging their success by man's approval rather than by God's standards. And again, every week we come here and hear a message, but are we really paying attention to that message that is given? It's the Word of God. Are we letting it get beyond our ears into our heart? What's keeping you from acting on what you hear? Do you struggle with laziness, procrastination, forgetfulness? Laziness, lazy listeners. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Do the good you know to do, regardless of the cost. Not to do so is sin. We grieve the Holy Spirit. That is the last thing on earth you want to do. And then procrastination. Acts 24:25. This is about Felix the governor. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. A convenient time. Here he is dealing with Paul's life. But even with us, you are all very important to God. And if there is something going on in your life, something you hear from the Word of God, are you just going to sit back and do nothing? A convenient time. Instead of waiting, act upon it now. Whatever issues are going on, if the word was spoken to you and you hear it in your heart, act. Do not wait. Procrastination is a trap. And sometimes you will never get back to doing what you wanted to do because of procrastination. And the devil is just counting on that. He's looking for that foothold, that crack to get in, that foothold. Don't let it happen. And then we have forgetfulness of God. Psalm 78:11. And forget his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. We need to write them down, bind them around our neck, write them down on the tablet of your heart. Because if you don't, indifference will settle in. Do not let indifference settle in. So, but let's say, well, we're not indifferent, I'm not indifferent, and God's word is penetrating your heart. Well, what are you reflecting? The key verse this morning is discussing about the reflection in a mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, when looking into a mirror, what kind of reflection are you showing? You know, the outward appearance may be pleasing and very beautiful. But what about the inner man? What about your insides? What's going on? You can spend a lot of time in the mirror. I've seen it. I have 3 daughters. But you know, God can see through you. He can see through the heart of a man. Right through you. He can see everything. Which should lead us to ask this question. Are we leading an unexamined life? Lamentations 3:40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Examine your heart. Examine yourself. The number one shortcoming of man at the close of the 20th century, as it has been at the close of every century, is that we lead unexamined lives. We do. Most Christians today within the church have not carefully chiseled their life view by a personal search for truth and obedience to God. Most people today are trying to look for a way to chisel their abs. There's all these formulas and all these ways, but they don't care about their eternal destiny, but they care about their abs, what they look like. And you know, and instead we rush from task to busy task, but we don't call enough timeouts to reflect on life's larger meaning and purpose. Rather, we live from day to day to day. We live under the tyranny of today's problems. Our lives are consumed in action as we react to the seemingly endless menu of options which vie for our attention, time, and money. Gandhi once said, there is more to life than increasing its speed. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Which are priorities? Where are your priorities? Spiritually, too many of us are just playing church, just going through the motions, coming here, you know. We show up on Sunday mornings, but the message we come away with doesn't do for us what it does for some of the other members. You know, you may not know why, but before you spend much time thinking about it, your mind wanders to the problems of the past week, today, the morning. Then you speed off to the next busy task. And by Monday afternoon, the memory of Sunday is as distant as the memory of last year's vacation. I was thinking about this. You know, as a lawyer or a accountant is no better than the effort he puts into keeping up with his profession, so is the Christian no better than the effort he puts into self examination of life's big questions. And often we become confused about life's differences, and we frequently apply the wrong set of principles to these problems. This affects the inner man. That's what we're talking about. This is what the Lord God is saying here. This is what James is saying here, directed by the Holy Spirit to write this. This is why self-examination is so critical every single day. Colossians 2:8 tells us, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Many believers are slow in their spiritual growth. Why? For lack of wisdom. Sometimes teaching that's enthusiastically endorsed, it slows down spiritual growth, because believers do not know the scriptures. The word of God says, my people fail for lack of knowledge. So if you're asking yourself why, well, the answers are right here, to life's problems. We should heed Paul's warning against listening to people who pander to the flesh rather than edifying in the truth. Separate yourselves from this. In other words, many of us are Christians in our spirit, but secular in our practice. We have become a generation of cultural Christians. The real you is the you that is known by God. We are who we are in our minds, first, before we speak or act. Our speech and actions are the result of our thinking. Scripture tells us in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here we go, you know, to protect our self-image, we kid, trick, and fool ourselves into believing the visible you is somehow real. To see ourselves as we really are, we must acknowledge our inability to do so without God's help. The mind is where the battle takes place. It's the battle between the majority secular life view and the minority Christian life view. Ephesians 6:12 describes this battle for the mind. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take this invisible war seriously, or many of us will lose the battle for our minds. But we can win this war. We can win this war by committing ourselves to self-examination through studying the Holy Scriptures. You can know the real you, the you that is known by our God. Studying the Scriptures feeds your spiritual memory. We're going to talk now about spiritual memory. To strengthen our spiritual memory is so critical. It's so important. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Be diligent in Bible study and practice scripture memorization and meditation on a daily basis. Let the word in you produce praise to God and edification of others. Serve Jesus' purposes in every thought, word, and deed. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Working out our minds for Jesus Christ. Recognize God's gift of time and use it wisely. Many people say, I cannot memorize scripture, but there is a solution. There are ways to learn scripture memorization. One method is repetition, an association of similar things within the Word of God. For example, the 3:16s. And I know many of you know this. John 3:16 is considered the greatest promise in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We should memorize this verse because it comforts us and is useful when sharing the gospel. Jesus requires absolute devotion and rejects lackadaisical, half-hearted followers. Zeal for the Lord is not optional for his disciples. Devotion willingly submits to Jesus' discipline because it recognizes his love in it. Revelation 3:16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is a worthwhile verse to help keep us on track. It is. So here, I have shared with you four 3:16 verses worth memorizing. Colossians 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, John 3:16, Revelation 3:16. So here, you are well on your way to beginning this today. You can start today in memorizing scripture. One a day, or one if you don't have that good memory, work on it one a week. Set your thinking and your affections on Jesus Christ and build your relationship with him. Don't allow worldly pursuits to waste your time, to waste your mental or emotional energy. It's a waste. Be a doer of the word. I call doers, they are the obedient ones. John 3:21, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Obedience to the word of God brings about the work of God. We are to hear the word and do the work. To hear and to do nothing is one sign of a deceived heart. Faith acts, to believe is to do. John 13:17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Recognize that it is what you practice of God's word that brings blessing to yourself and others. Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Do the will of God. Follow through and do not hesitate. Time is precious, my friends, and this is a command. You're going to wait for a convenient time? For what? Order all your life according to God's word as the key to purity. Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Seek God and cultivate the fear of the Lord. Doing so leads to wisdom and results in great blessing from our God. So my friends, as we close out our message this morning, We have just heard what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say in his word, in his holy word, about careless hearing, indifference, mirrors, spiritual memory, and doers of the word. Now, many of us go back and forth in this life with Christ and the life in the world. We compromise. We've only partially surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't committed your life to Christ, today is the day. This is the appointed time now. Brothers and sisters, it is time to stop just going through the motions and get serious about your eternal destiny and earthly purpose. The examined life is worth living. Determine to let Christ explore every inner room of your mind. Christ wants to empower us to break us out of the mold of this world and lead an authentic Christian life. But it requires daily effort on our part. The challenge is to be a man or woman committed to the Christian life view and a biblical Christian. Let me finish off by reading from Revelation 22, 12, 13, 14. This is very important. It's beautiful. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Where would we be today without your Son? Where would we be without your word? But we know through your word, it has cautioned us, it has warned us, not just to be hearers, but doers. I thank you, Lord God, for all of my brothers and sisters here today. I pray that we all resonate with this message, that we become encouraged by it, that it lights a fire under us, that we become doers to carry out sharing the gospel with those people that we have yet to meet. But our reflection will show that we behold the love of Christ. We can share with those what we've done in our lives. We thank you so much, Lord God, for your blessings. And as the work goes on, we take joy and delight in your word, and we hold it close to our heart every single day. And we may enter through the gates into that city with you on a beautiful day. So we thank you for this time, Lord. We lift up this now in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, now share with each other the sign of peace, followed by the communion message given by our beloved Deacon Scott.